All right, we're in Acts 13. Following on Paul as what people call his first missionary journey, which really is a misnomer as far as what he's doing, because it's not his first, because he was up in Cilicia, up in this area by Tarsus and all that area. So he was planting churches probably in that at that time. And in fact, I think in chapter 15 it mentions churches in that area, so it seems obvious that he did plant some churches there. It's not so much missionary either. He is obviously reaching out with the gospel of the grace of God. That's a brand new message that he's getting out. And it's more of an apostolic journey, if anything. But the journey is proper, so let's call it his journey. So he is out, and he is up in Antioch, Pisidia, is kind of where we left him. Now, that's in modern-day Turkey, and it's just the southern part of Turkey that he is now preaching to a crowd, and this is actually the first recording of his sermon, so we kind of know what he's preaching as he is going throughout his journey. This kind of sets the tone. We don't have to record all his sermons, because this, I think, basically tells us this is what he's preaching, so we get to understand where he's coming from. Now, the interesting thing is that he does preach Jesus Christ, but he's preaching in a very Jewish manner. He's talking in the synagogue, remember? And he's talking to Jews and Gentiles. And he's actually, there are both there. I know Ann brought up, the Jews, or Gentiles being there. And it does mention that. Oh, no, I lost it again. But it does say it in this chapter, in the middle of this chapter somewhere, that talks about the Gentiles being in this area here. Oh, I'll run across it later. So anyway, we see that there are both Jews and Gentiles. That Paul, when he talks, he does stop at the synagogue, and the synagogue is a good meeting place. So it's not just where they have church, but it's actually a general meeting place where Jew and Gentile had a place where they could come together. And it was where Paul was able to reach not only his own people, his own brethren, with the gospel of the grace of God, but also to be able to reach out to the Gentiles. He's not excluding anybody. A lot of people take it that in Romans 1:16 it says to the Jew first and also the Gentile. Well, the important thing is there, when he says to the Jew first, that doesn't mean that we first reach out to all the Jews and then later we talk to the Gentiles. It's really, he's doing both. And that's what's important to understand, because Paul has a ministry and he's going to unbelieving Israel and to the Gentiles. And so that's where his ministry is. And that, as we get into Acts 15, we're going to see where he and Peter split as far as who they're going to cover. Peter is going to be covering the little flock. He's the one that's encouraging that little flock. He's the one that's writing to that little flock. And as he's writing to them, he's talking to them about things of their prophetic program. Paul says he's going to the uncircumcision. The uncircumcision includes those people who are unbelieving Jews. And we're going to cover that a little more as we get into that.
Are there any writings by Peter that might not be in the Bible that address to Church Father Christ?
None that I know of. And I would guess no offhand. It seems that at that point that Paul was the one writing specifically to the church, the body of Christ. Peter is often attributed to writing to the church, the body of Christ, which is where most people pick up the idea that we are priests and so on, mixing Israel's program with ours. But if you read Peter, people mix him up with us because he talks about the shed blood of Christ and grace, and people confuse that with the body of Christ. But he's really talking to Israel. Doesn't God's grace come into play with Israel? all the time, as he does with us. Doesn't Christ shed blood important for Israel? Obviously it is. But Peter then talks about those things, events that are going to happen, and it's about the second coming. It's not about the rapture. And so he's talking only about Israel's program. He never talks about us.
I can't remember where it is, but doesn't Paul say something along the lines of, he who doesn't go and build on another man's foundation? Is that what
it is? Absolutely. That's absolutely it, where Paul talks about. He talks about not building on another man's foundation. Peter was building a foundation for the kingdom saints, and Paul is building off of that foundation. He's not building on that same plan. He's not building on the same thing that Peter was building. And so, yes, absolutely. And that shows that there's two different distinct groups here. As Peter's group is waiting and wondering why things are dying out, Paul is preaching now the gospel of grace. The kingdom saints are just kind of watching and trying to understand what's going on. That's what Romans 9, 10, and 11 are about, is Paul talks to these kingdom saints or people that are part of Jews, but they see the program changing.
So how many years after Peter realized what had happened in Switzerland, Paul was teaching on the Jews, teaching to the Jews, so how many years did he continue to teach to the Jews the kingdom? And was there any context of how it's put aside for now, but it's coming later?
We have up to this point where we are. We're at about 10 years in from when Paul got saved. So it's been a span of years, and things are slowly, you know, it's the Queen Mary turning big ships. It takes a long time to turn those ships. So, well, that's what's happening here, in that the dispensational ship, it actually left the dock, meaning that the dispensation has changed and God isn't dealing with the nation of Israel anymore, but it takes a long time to get her to turn around and finally get all the way turned where it's headed. And that's what we're seeing here.
There are no writings to your knowledge that are not in the Bible where Peter addresses the shift at all?
None that I know of, yeah. There are a lot of extra biblical books that are written that are attributed to saints or apostles like Thomas and so on, but none of them have proven to be accurate at all. And if Peter had something out there, if you read what the writings that are attributed to some of these saints, you'll realize that they just don't match up with what Scripture says. And so they're untrustworthy at best. Heretical, probably, at worst. So Paul is out preaching to both Jew and Gentile. The unbelieving Jews are in the audience. Gentiles are there. And they're trying to figure out what he's teaching and preaching. And so it talks about a whole multitude that are there. Acts 13:42. As Paul and Barnabas were going out, the people kept begging that these things might be spoken to them the next Sabbath. Remember, when he preached, he was preaching Jesus Christ. He was preaching about, again, he started out with Abraham and led it right up into who Jesus Christ was through David and Jesus. It could be mistaken for a very Jewish sermon, but then he proclaims, "Let it be known to you," in verse 38, "brethren, that through him," Jesus Christ, "forgiveness of sins is proclaimed to you, and through him, everyone who believes is free from all things from which you could not be free through the law of Moses." Now imagine the Jewish leaders hearing that and saying, "What do you mean? We're living by the law of Moses for our sanctification, for our redemption, for our justification. That's what we're doing." And now this guy comes along and starts preaching, "No, it's you can be free without the law of Moses. It's through Jesus Christ." And so now Paul's basically getting rid of the law. And he's preaching this in the synagogue after they just preached. They stand up and they read out of the law and the prophets. That's the Old Testament. And now Paul says, "You're not going to get saved through these things." Wow. You can imagine how the leaders of Israel would kind of panic and hate to hear what he's preaching, again, which is the usual case, while at the same time the people are intrigued. The people are going, huh, that's interesting. I want to hear more. And that's what we're seeing here in 42. The people begging them, and this would be both Jews and Gentiles, that these things might be spoken to them the next Sabbath. They want to hear more. This is something brand new. And everywhere Paul goes, they're saying, I've never heard this before. I want to hear some more. Verse 43. Now, when the meeting of the synagogue had broken up, many of the Jews and the God-fearing proselytes followed Paul and Barnabas, who, speaking to them, were urging them to continue in the grace of God. So we have Paul finishing up his sermon. It sounds very Jewish until he gets right to the end. Now, he knows that he's preaching to the Jews. He's trying to reach out to the Jews, but he's also reaching to the Gentiles. He's preaching to them a very Jewish message, at least at first, because that's going to what is going to hook the Jews into what he's saying, and it's going to give credence to what he's preaching. It's going to give some substance. It's the foundation of what he's preaching. He's proving that Jesus Christ is this man of the Old Testament that was prophesied would come. And he's saying that was the Messiah of Israel, but now he died for everybody. And all those who believe. It talks about anybody who comes. Now, through him, everyone who believes. Now, is there any works included in what Paul's preaching? Nope. It's all about believing. All who believe can come to him. And that's is all he's preaching. It's a different message than what Peter was preaching. Remember what Peter, when he was preaching Acts 2 and 3, repent and be baptized for the remission of sins. What's that?
Works.
Well, that's works, isn't it? That's nothing but works. Put into that believing. They had to believe who Jesus Christ was. But they had to repent and be baptized, and that's not here at all. Paul has stripped those works away from faith. Again, that commonality with Abraham, Abraham saved by faith, but then later he had to add the works to it that connected him to Israel. But now we're back to this. We stripped off those works. Now we're saved only by faith. And we prove our faith by not adding works to our salvation. We don't add those works. And so that's what Paul is preaching. And again, you can imagine the leaders of Israel Paul is preaching something that they've never preached before, or they've never taught the people, and now the people are hearing this. You can imagine that, I really want to hear more about this, but now the leaders are seeing, look at all these people that are coming to hear Paul, and as we go in here, the next Sabbath, in verse 44, nearly the whole city assembles to hear the word of the Lord. Wow, if you had somebody that you thought you had, you were the leader of, and all of a sudden some stranger comes in and the whole city comes together, that you get jealous. That's man's normal reaction, I guess, and these leaders get jealous. They said, who are you to take away our people? And you have to remember that it's not governmental officials, these are religious leaders who are the officials watching over the people, supposedly, and their religion, trying to get people to toe the line, to obey the law. Now Paul comes along and shakes this all up. And people are just enjoying hearing what they have to say and really are curious about it. And so you can understand their jealousy. But Paul says here in verse 45, but when the Jews saw the crowds, they were filled with jealousy and began contradicting the things spoken of by Paul and were blaspheming. The contradicting and blaspheming go together. Blaspheming is saying he's lying to you. He's not telling the truth. What he said about God isn't true. What he said about salvation, that's not true. That's part of blaspheming is just the contradicting going against him. Blaspheming is denying, saying that this didn't happen.
And at this time, they really didn't have a Bible that they could go and prove that what Paul was saying was right or wrong.
That's why Paul went to the Old Testament and used that as scripture. They would accept that. And so he built the base of what he was preaching. And also, at that point in time, everybody's heard about Jesus Christ and his death, burial, and resurrection. Even though everyone's trying to cover it up, everyone knew it. I mean, you don't keep something like that quiet. And so that's, I think, part of, he's applying what they already knew. He didn't have to go and fill in a lot of blanks there because they were living that time. They didn't have to know that, oh, Jesus came to die and he rose again. Well, that was common knowledge, especially among the Jews. So Paul didn't have to build a case about that, but he connected them all the time with the Old Testament and said, well, look at this is the man that rose from the dead. And that's Jesus Christ.
Yeah, the scattering from the persecution, those Jews went out.
Absolutely.
They went to a Jewish community.
Yeah.
So they're sharing.
That's where they came from. Remember, the Jews had to go to Jerusalem 3 times a year. And so there was a common meeting place where they're all coming together. And so they were required to go at Passover, at Pentecost, and then at Sukkot, or the Feast of Booths. Those two feasts, Passover and Pentecost, were 50 days apart. And so they came and left in a short period of time. And in that time, when they were doing that, they were hearing a lot of gossip going on as they came into the city. And then when they went home, what's going to happen? They're going to start talking all about that. It's common knowledge again. And so that's what the Jews really understood, what was going on. In spite of the trying to cover up. The Jewish leaders were trying to cover this up, hiring people to lie about the resurrection and all these things. But people knew it. They knew what was going on. And so, yes, the scattering, the people that would come in, they would be, the persecution helped to bring that news out, but they would also come into Jerusalem and then leave for the feasts. And so that was still going on too. Now, Paul then, in verse 46, spoke out boldly and said it was necessary that the word of God be spoken to you. It's interesting that he says it's necessary. God was the one who sent Paul and Barnabas. He commissioned them to go out. It was God who sent them forth. And so that's why they're there, because God said to go. That's why he says it was necessary. But he doesn't say that... And it says that necessary that the word of God be spoken to you first, since you repudiate it and judge yourselves unworthy of eternal life. Now, he's talking to the Jewish leaders, and he's talking to them. He's going out to them first. And this fits in with to the Jew first, and also to the Gentile in Romans 1:16. He's bringing the gospel to the Jew first. Meaning, now did he just talk to the Jew first and then he talked to the Gentiles after? No, he's talking to everybody together. But he's making sure, he's making it a priority to reach out to the Jews. He's making it a priority to go out and make sure that he contacts the Jews and, of course, any Gentiles that want to hear too. So he's not excluding anybody, but he's making sure that he goes to a place where the Jews are going to hear the truth of the gospel. And he says this to the Jewish leaders, it was necessary that the word of God be spoken to you. So in other words, it wasn't him that wanted it because his heart was with the Jews, but it was God who had apparently told him, make sure you reach the Jews with the gospel message, because there's a dispensational change that has gone on. Their salvation has now changed. They have an opportunity to reach out with the gospel of grace, and they have the opportunity to accept that gospel of grace now, and they're not cut off. I think God wanted them to know that you're still, you know, God, he just made the case in Romans that they were cut off. But yet he's going out to the Jew first and to the Gentiles. So in other words, if they were cut off, you'd think that you stop going to the Jews. And that's how some people interpret that today. That the Jews now, because they put Christ to death, that they're cut off the tree. Well, we don't do anything with the Jews. They're condemned. Well, no, Paul doesn't treat them like that. He's going to the Jew first, in spite of them being cut off. And so we have here this idea that Paul is letting them know that they still have an opportunity for eternal life. It's not through the nation of Israel like they thought, but it's through grace and this new message that Paul is teaching. It's a whole new dispensation. He's basically teaching them things have changed, but that doesn't mean that you can't get saved. And so he's out there with the gospel message. And so he then continues on that it was necessary the word of God be spoken to you first, since you repudiate it and judge yourselves unworthy of eternal life. We are turning to the Gentiles. Now that's a big statement. He's basically saying, I've reached you guys. I've done what I was told to do. You are cutting me off and cutting God off, basically, so that others can't hear. And so now I'm not dealing with you anymore. I'm not giving you a priority. I'm not giving you, I'm making sure that I reach the Jews. I'm going on to the next area. And that's what we see. And if I had my map up here, if you have your map, you'll realize that in Turkey, that this is an area of southern Turkey where he's basically has reached that area. And he's traveling around Antioch, Lystra, Iconium, Derbe, and all that southern area of Turkey. And when he reaches that area, he's basically declaring, all right, now I'm turning to the Gentiles. So in other words, he's not making them a priority anymore. But we're going to see that happening again and again. In chapter 18, we see him at Corinth. Where's Corinth?
Greece.
That's Greece, right? We're going to go on the next trip. We're going a little farther west. And he's going off into Greece. And then he's in the southern part of Greece there. He's going to tell them after they reject, again, the message. They said, all right. You guys, now I'm going to the Jews. I'm not going to the Jews anymore. I'm going to the Gentiles. And then when he ends up in Rome, what does he do? Same thing. Rome, Acts 28:28. He again says, I'm going to the Gentiles. So you can see that geographically, we're moving across the area where most of the Jews are located. And he's covering this whole area geographically. Now it's interesting. Because if you'll recall, when Paul went to Damascus, he was saved, right? As he was on the road to Damascus, he went into Damascus, preached Jesus Christ as best he knew. He's basically explaining what happened. He then went down to Arabia, back up in Damascus, and then down to Jerusalem. When he was in Jerusalem, do you remember what happened? He was there with Peter for a little bit, and he was talking to Peter. But he was also preaching, and he was very vocal in his preaching there. What happened to him at that point? The Jewish leaders were on his case. They wanted to kill him. The Lord came to him and said, Peter, time for you to get out of... let's see if I can find it here. It's in my notes somewhere. Time for you to get out of Jerusalem. Acts 22:17. It happened when I returned to Jerusalem and I was praying in the temple that I fell into a trance and I saw him, Jesus, God, saying to him, make haste and get out of Jerusalem quickly because they will not accept your testimony about me. His being separated from the Jewish people and the Jewish nation starts back then. And so we talk about the three times he actually started, in a sense, back in Jerusalem when God said, get out of Jerusalem. They're not going to accept you. And that's when he went up into, he ended up going up into Tarsus and then down into where they were first called Christians, Antioch. Thank you. And so he went down into Antioch, and at that point that was kind of the headquarters now for where he went on his journeys. And each time he went on his journey, the Jews rejected him, and at that point, he would declare them, all right, now I'm going to the Gentiles. Then he went to Greece. Now I'm going to go to the Gentiles. He went to Rome. Now I went to the Gentiles. So you can see a separation, though, starting even in Jerusalem, where he was separating himself from his own brethren in preaching the gospel of the grace of God. And so God gave them the chance to listen. You might recall too that Elymas, who was a sorcerer, who was a Jew early on in his travels, and we have Elymas and we have Sergius Paulus. Sergius Paulus, as a Gentile, accepted what Paul preached. Elymas did everything he could to stop Peter or Paul from preaching and stop him from being becoming saved. That's a picture of what was going on here as Paul traveled. Everywhere he went, we see the Jews going against what he preached, trying to stop the gospel from going to the Gentiles, and we see the Gentiles in general accepting what Paul preaches and gladly accepting it. And so that picture that was given to us early on in the book of Acts is Paul starts his journeys. Actually, it's in 13, first part of 13. That was what was happening as he traveled, everywhere he traveled. And we're seeing it happening here, where they refused, the Jewish leaders refused to listen to him. And as it said, it was in going back to Acts 13:46, it was necessary the word of God be spoken to you first. Since you repudiated it, you wanted nothing to do with it, you're putting it down and you're trying to cause people to turn away from it, you are judging yourselves unworthy of eternal life. We are turning to the Gentiles. So we understand what Paul is preaching. We understand that eternal life now comes through just believing. Paul says, if you don't want to accept that message, you are rejecting eternal life. And so I've given you the opportunity. Now I'm turning to the Gentiles. The verse 47, for so the Lord has commanded us, I have placed you as a light for the Gentiles, that you may bring salvation to the end of the earth. Interesting verse here. The Jews were to be a light to the nations, and they rejected that. They're going to be during the kingdom. They're going to be a light to the nations, because people will come to that light. Not everybody will be saved in the kingdom as babies are born and nations grow again. They will be a light. The Gentiles will come to the Jews and look for that light. They'll come to that. There's a number of verses that talk about that. But salvation to the end of the earth. The Gentiles were to be reached through the Jews, but what Paul is saying here is that it's not outside of God's will for Gentiles to be saved. Gentiles are going to be saved. And this is what you're seeing is happening, is that these Gentiles are being saved. And it fits in with what your scripture is, that now you're seeing them coming to the Lord while you're rejecting it, but they are being saved. They didn't want to hear that. Like, as much as Peter wanted to go to Cornelius, I think they're seeing that the leadership, or that the Gentiles are accepting the salvation, accepting Christ as their Savior. At this point, it's something that they didn't like to see, and they did everything they could to stop that from happening. You know, I think I'm going to just stop here. I'm going to read the verse here, but then because it's going to take a little while to talk about this, but it says, then when the Gentiles heard this, they talked about what did they hear? I've placed you as a light for the Gentiles, that you may bring salvation to the end of the earth. All right, the Gentiles hearing this, they're excited to hear it. They heard this, they began rejoicing and glorifying the word of the Lord, and as many as had been appointed to eternal life believed. Well, this verse is misused a lot, misunderstood because of the word appointed. And it feeds right into Calvinism. And so we'll talk about that. You can read the notes and see what I say, so you can argue against it next week if you want to be Calvinistic.